At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Now, stop humming, it's everything that changed. That warp tool made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint that I know they gon' copy. Stop humming intros over. Cause this is America's game.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of America's Game, episode number 70. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody who's listening to this on Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hopefully you have a good time with your families. Enjoy some football. Got some football on Friday, too, so hopefully you guys enjoy all the games. Besides that Dallas Giants game, that game's going to be dog shit. But once again, this week, back for his second appearance here on America's Game, T-Rock, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm freaking excited to be here. Thank you for bringing me back. I guess I didn't do too bad last time, huh?
The people were clamoring to have you back. They were just, like, beating down my door like, yo, you got to have T-Rock back.
Oh, man, well, I appreciate that. Hopefully we do not disappoint them on this episode. Got a lot of energy today. Just went outside for a little 25-minute walk. Got some sun. It was 40 degrees outside, but it wasn't too bad. How about you, man? How are you doing?
Yeah, it's not too bad out weather-wise. We're in the same area, kind of. So, yeah, weather's kind of the same. It wasn't too bad. But the next, like, after Thanksgiving and on, it's going to be pretty shitty. So,
yeah.
Not looking forward to that. But, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Excited to do this episode here with you. We're going to do a lot of wide receiver talk. Also want to kind of go over some more college stuff because I found some more college stuff came out yesterday on PFF that I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit as well. So we'll do that, and then we'll talk about some of your findings that you found with the wide receivers. So we'll talk about that, too. So,
sounds great.
But, yeah, man, Thanksgiving, man. I'm going to start you off quick. Quick one. What's like your favorite football Thanksgiving memory?
Favorite football Thanksgiving memory. Man, that's
a doesn't have to be an NFL game. It can just be like if you were playing with your family or something too.
Well, do that. Yeah, I did growing up. My younger brother was not gifted very athletically. He didn't know anything about football. He couldn't rush the passer or even go out for a route. And whenever he had a pass thrown to him, he would just do the alligator arms. The ball would just go right through his hands, hit him right in the chest. My older brother would always get pissed off at him for doing that. But my last Thanksgiving meal, when I went to go visit my pappy and my brother and his wife, my dad got Chick-fil-A. My mom wasn't available to cook, so we just got Chick-fil-A for Thanksgiving. It's not going to be like that this year, but that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
How about you, man?
I didn't really ever play like football on Thanksgiving or anything. I just remember a lot of watching the football games, man. Just kind of, you always take a nap during one of them, whichever, probably the 4 o'clock game usually. always watching the football games and some of the performances that happened on Thanksgiving games. I remember Peyton Manning tore up the Lions one year with the Colts, and obviously Randy Moss's famous 3-touchdown game. So, yeah, a lot of cool football memories for sure that's happened on Thanksgiving.
Do you remember last year when Greg Olsen ruined Jordan Love's Thanksgiving win over the Lions by just absolutely ravaging that turducken, just shoving his grimy hands into it and tearing it apart alive there?
No, I must as soon as the game's over, I usually flip the channel to the other one, so no, I must have missed that one.
Oh man, it was such a travesty. They need to send a turducken to Jordan Love this year.
Yeah, well, he's playing on Friday or the night game, so maybe he will.
Yeah, hopefully he gets one.
All right, so let's get into some of this college stuff. So last week, if you listened, I went over, did a solo episode, went over Mel Kiper, Dane Brugler's big boards, and Mel Kiper's top 10 at each position, at least offensively. Looked over a couple mock drafts as well. So a PFF mock draft actually dropped, I think it was either yesterday or this morning. So I kind of want to look at it and kind of get some of your thoughts on some of these landing spots, so, and what you would think. So we'll go through each one here. So they have first overall, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They take Travis Hunter at number one overall. How would you feel with Travis Hunter and Trevor Lawrence pairing up there in Jacksonville?
I think that would be pretty awesome. I'm just excited just to see a player of like Deion Sanders, you know, caliber, where he could play like two different positions at an elite level. So I hope that they let him do that. And then I'll fully expect him to do that.
Right. I mean, just for Trevor Lawrence's sake, man, to have Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter, you know, on that roster with Evan Engram. And Gabe Davis will still be under contract, so he'll still be there too. So pretty potent offense there for Trevor Lawrence. I still don't really believe in Trevor Lawrence. I still think he's a very average quarterback, but it would definitely be a big boost to him. I mean, you can't deny that.
Yeah, I'm most excited to see what they do at GM and what they do at coach next year, because we could see a quick turnaround depending on who they get. And the most important thing is they find a coach that can bring out the best, you know, with T-Law, Trevor Targaryen. So they have the pieces on offense, you know, at running back, even at tight end with Evan Engram. So,
right.
But yeah, Travis Hunter would be awesome there.
I mean, it's just a rumor, but Belichick could be in play there and he could probably be the coach and GM there for Jacksonville.
That would be pretty awesome. I'm just excited just to have Belichick anywhere, to be honest with you. I think wherever he goes, it's going to be great. But it would be cool to see him, you know, with T-Law there.
Yep. Number two overall was the New York Giants, and they selected their quarterback of the future after moving on from Daniel Jones. Shedeur Sanders from Colorado goes number two overall to the New York Giants. How would you feel about Shedeur and Malik Nabers, Tracy, Theo Johnson, those guys hooking up?
I would be really excited just because when you have a dual threat quarterback, it's just the most important thing that we have in fantasy football.
Well, that's the one thing with Shedeur, though. He's not really a dual threat quarterback.
Do you think that's because Deion's asking him not to run the ball, or he's incapable of running the ball?
I would take him more as a CJ Stroud type. Like, he can do it when he like really needs to, but it's not his preferred thing to do.
Okay.
So that's how I take Shedeur Sanders personally.
Okay. I am, I guess, hoping a little bit more for the rushing upside, but regardless, even as a passer, I mean, he's got a 90.5 PFF passer rating I'm seeing here. And, we just need someone to Malik Nabers is already unlocked, but he's kind of gone away over the last month. So I just want that consistent top five wide receiver in Dynasty. And Tyrann Tracy would be – those three would be an awesome core in New York.
My one thing with Shedeur on this team is they would really have to improve that offensive line and the depth, because Shedeur loves to hold on to that ball. That's why, you know, one of his biggest knocks is he holds on to the ball way too long trying to make the big play, and you're not going to be able to do that behind this Giants offensive line. So that would be a concern for me as well. But him and Malik would be a good pair.
Yeah, he might get his ass kicked the first month or two, just like Caleb Williams. He held on to the ball you know, for a long time in the first couple months of the season. But he sped up his throwing motion. Yeah. So hopefully Jador can get that figured out.
Number three overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. They finally get their quarterback of the future. Move on from probably Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. And Cam Ward would be the quarterback that they select at number three overall. Ward is on track for a career high PFF passing grade in 2024, currently sitting at 90.6. So his big time throw percentage is also 6% on his passing attempts. So this guy definitely makes some big plays. I think he's going to be a top five draft pick as well. The only problem with the Raiders is who the fuck is he throwing the ball to? Like Bowers, Jacoby Myers is decent, but I don't think he's a number one. Like they would need to get another elite receiver. Like they would have to like draft Cam Ward and be the team that goes out and signs like T. Higgins.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have, I think, everything all at once, especially when it comes to the offensive playmakers. And Brock Bowers is a cheat code. I mean, he basically plays two positions at the same time. So I think they have enough. What I'm more worried about is they have no running game whatsoever to support whatever quarterback comes in.
Well, yeah, the good thing is this running back class is absolutely loaded. So yeah. I would be like 95% the Raiders are drafting a fucking workhorse running back next year. And there's tons of 215 plus pound running backs coming into the draft next year that could easily be workhorses.
Yeah, and when we look at the offensive line, the Raiders right now are 19th in pass blocking, but they're abysmal in run blocking. They're 27th. So,
and that's what Antonio Pierce wants to do. He comes from the Tom Coughlin way of playing football, and you know he watched the Giants with Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, and like they want to run the rock. So, so he definitely wants to get back to that. But yeah, getting Cam Ward there, I think that would be a great pick for them. I just hope they can, you know, get a receiver there somehow to go with Jacoby Myers and those guys.
Yeah, early second round, maybe someone falls. They can get someone.
Number four overall. This, I love the pick. I just don't know if he goes this high, but I would love it if he did. And that's my favorite wide receiver in the draft, Teteroa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, 6'5", fucking pterodactyl, to give Drake May a legit number one wide receiver who can run all the routes. Really, really good wide receiver. So Drake May, Teteroa McMillan, this is probably my favorite pick so far, A+ on this one. What would you think? What did you think of Tet to the Patriots there?
This would probably be the most exciting pick in the top four for me. I mean, yeah, the quarterbacks are great. Travis Hunter is awesome. But just like you were saying, watching T-Mac, you know, just what he's been doing this year, he's just a freak. He's a freak.
Yeah.
So, he's the
and
one.
Drake I'm... May looks, you know, very, very promising. Like, Drake May looks like the real deal. To get him a stud wide receiver, I'm all in on that.
Yeah. I don't know what their other team needs are outside of, I mean, playmakers. Everything. Yeah, wide receiver. They're
Patriots need everything. Line, offensive line, you know, running back they could probably use here. You know, defense they need a lot. So, I mean, they need a lot of things. But getting Drake May a legit number one wide receiver would definitely help.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Next offensive player, we go down to number seven, and they have the New York Jets selecting quarterback Jalen Milroe, quarterback Alabama, with reports of the weekend of Aaron Rodgers moving on in 2025 to go somewhere else. So Aaron Rodgers would just be a hired gun probably for 1 year to somebody that's just like a quarterback away. Mm-hmm. But then the Jets move on here with a new GM, a new coach probably, new everything. And Jalen Milroe would be their guy. And we've seen how fantasy works the last couple years with Lamar, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels this year. Like, the rushing quarterbacks are king, and Jalen Milroe is by far the best rushing quarterback coming out this year, if he does come out. So yeah, he's looking really, really good there. He did have a stinker of a game this week against Oklahoma. He did not look very good. He kind of got exposed a little bit. Mm-hmm. So he's not a completely polished guy, kind of like how Jalen Hurts would came out and some of these other guys that just aren't completely polished. Like, he really needs to work on his accuracy and throwing and all that, but it's doable. We've seen Josh Allen do it. We've seen Lamar get better at passing. He's just going to have to work really, really hard at it. And everything that I've ever heard on Jalen Milroe is he's a leader, first in, first out, or last out. One of those types of players. So, yeah, Jalen Milroe to the Jets with Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams. I would like this pick.
Yeah, the rushing upside is definitely very tantalizing. The passing, though, has a lot to be desired. I think he's got a 60% passing completion percentage. So he definitely needs to, you know, clean some things up there. And a lot of the quarterbacks that we had come out of this class, they had a far better, you know, they're far better passers, and they can also offer stuff, you know, on the ground too. So, yeah, I'm kind of I'm excited to get into, you know, his stats and film in the offseason and just like all these other guys.
And then number 10 overall, we move down to 10. The Cincinnati Bengals select Luther Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, with T. Higgins most likely moving on, possibly. The Bengals go ahead, replace him with a top 10 pick here and grab Luther Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, kind of like a Deebo Samuel type player. What would you think of Burden to the Bengals?
I would be really surprised just with how bad their defense has been. I don't know much about the defensive talent with this class, but man, they need to get somebody on defense. If they don't think that one person is enough, maybe they trade back. But yeah, I don't know. I think Luther Burden's a really amazing wide receiver. I want to hate it for my Joe Burrow shares, and I think he could definitely, you know, fill in that number two. But then they also drafted Burton, you know, pretty decently high. I think he was a second or third round pick.
Yeah, Burton they took in the third round, but already showing up late to meetings and shit like that. So
yeah, I also like Yossi Vosh quite a bit as well. But yeah, this team needs just a lot of help on defense, but maybe they don't give a shit. Maybe they just want to see Burrow just air it out. So
yeah. Next one up here would be 11th overall, Dallas Cowboys. I personally would not like this pick because they have so many other needs. But Ashton Jeanty, the stud running back from Boise State, to 11th overall to the Dallas Cowboys. What would you think of that?
I would be a lot more excited, I guess, for this pick, only because I just very much like seeing Dallas being able to run the ball and not just let Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb just try to shoulder their, you know, their offense all by themselves. They do have lots of needs. I think of most of the NFL teams this past offseason, they probably regressed more than any other team. They did not hit in the draft. They lost their coaches, the key, you know, and a lot of key free agents. So they need to start right in the ship, but I don't know. I love Ashton Jeanty a lot.
Oh, so do I. I think he's a phenomenal talent. I think he deserves to be a first-round pick. I just think Dallas, they can't afford to waste a – I don't want to say it's a waste, but I don't think they can afford to spend the running back capital this high when you can get maybe in round three, you could get Caleb Johnson, you know, Devin Neal, who just had a monster game, like guys like that. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, if they traded back and maybe got Jeanty later, I don't know if he's going to go top 11 like Gibbs and Bijan did. That would be pretty surprising. Yeah.
I don't rule it out. Like, he's that phenomenal of a talent like Gibbs and Bijan in my eyes. So yeah, we'll see. 14th overall, Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU. I love getting to an offensive tackle. They definitely need some tackle upgrades there. Teron Armstead is a really good player, but always hurt. Older player, so yeah, they need some help at the tackle spot. So this, I think that's like the easy pick of the first round is Miami offensive line. Like, that's probably where they most likely are going to go.
Couldn't agree with you more. Yep.
Next one up, the Rams. They take offensive tackle Josh Simmons from the Ohio State. That, you know, their left tackle here is set to hit free agency in 2025, so they're going to be looking for offensive line help. The Rams have been looking for offensive line help for a while here now, so I think that would be a great pick for them.
Yeah.
18, the Arizona Cardinals. They select Emeka Egbuka from the Ohio State to pair up there with the other Ohio State receiver that they have, Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, it gives Kyler like that Chris Olave type wide receiver there in Egbuka. I think this would be actually a really good spot for Egbuka.
I would be pretty freaking stoked if Egbuka joined his old teammate in Marvin Harrison in Arizona. I do want to see Kyler Murray continue to get better and better. He's so up and down sometimes, but yeah, I would be pretty freaking stoked. Egbuka is one of my favorite wide receivers.
Yeah, he would definitely be an upgrade over Michael Wilson, but Michael Wilson can just slot in as like the third wide receiver, like a Michael Gallup type, and I think he'd be just fine. 20, so this guy's fallen a little bit in some of the mock drafts, but Kelvin Banks, the tackle from Texas, he was a top five in some mock drafts early on, but here he falls to 20 to the Seahawks. I think that would be a good spot for the Seahawks to shore up that offensive line some more. You know, they have a couple good ones, but they're often injured. To go with Charles Cross here, I think this would be a good pick.
Yeah, their team, it lives or dies based off their offensive line. So they've taken a pretty decent step back this year just because of, you know, their offensive line this year. So I'd be excited for this as well.
Next one up, Washington offensive tackle. I'm going to take a stab at this name, Ariante Arce from Minnesota. If I fucked that up, I'm sorry, but he goes to Washington to be a tackle there. I think this would be another really good pick. Protect Jaden Daniels at all costs. That's, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Next offensive player, 23, the Denver Broncos take Colston Loveland, the tight end from Michigan. Like, I don't think it's a terrible pick, but I think Denver could still use a little bit of more, at other spots, especially like offensive line. I think they could use some help, maybe another wide receiver, like a couple wide receivers go after them here. I mean, I like Loveland. We'll see. It could be an okay pick.
How is he as a blocker? Because that's the reason why Dulcich got cut yesterday.
Yeah. He's his receiving grade is really good, but I don't think he's much of a inline tight end as you know, some of these other guys. I think he's like adequate, but
well, then I don't really see this happening. Sorry, PFF, but Peyton really loves his run blocking tight ends that can also catch.
Yeah. Like he's probably just waiting for like the Saints to move on from Taysom Hill so he can get Taysom Hill.
That would be sweet.
You know, it's going to happen at some point. The Los Angeles Chargers at 25, they take the speedy wide receiver from Texas and Isaiah Bond to match up there with McConkey and the other weapons there, Quentin Johnston. I think this gives the Chargers something they really don't have right now, that speedy, stretch the field type wide receiver to pair up with Justin Herbert. I think the fit is really, really nice. I don't know if I love Isaiah Bond that much, but I think the fit is really, really good.
Do you see him as a wide receiver one? Because I see, I mean, Ladd, he's performing like a wide receiver one, but I still think he's more of a wide receiver two. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 15.9 yards per catch so far in 2024, so obviously he's a big play threat to go down the field. I just don't know if I ever see him as like some 80, 90 consistent, you know, playmaker type wide receiver. He might hit the 1,000 yards pretty quickly, but he might do it on like, you know, only 60 catches. So we'll see. I think it's a good fit. I think I'd have to do some more watching on Isaiah Bond, to be honest.
Yeah, I think with him and QJ stretching the field and Ladd McConkey, you know, getting all underneath and intermediate stuff, it would be pretty good.
And I've shit on him. Me and Scott Connor have shit on this guy for like 7 years. But Will Dissly is one hell of a find. Like, he has been fucking killing it. So
yeah, I was pretty high on him, but people were like, no, they got Hayden Hurst, and look how that turned out. So
They paid Dissly the most, so I always mention that. Like, I kind of was favoring Dissly over Hurst. It did work out eventually, but yeah, he's having a really good year. And 26, the Pittsburgh Steelers take the wide receiver from Ole Miss, Trey Harris. I think this would definitely give them another big play threat on the outside. Trey Harris, really, really incredible stuff this year. I think early on in the season, I think some people were kind of not sold on him, but, you know, dude just keeps making plays. So, and if the Steelers take a wide receiver, you know that wide receiver fits their bill and everything that they need and want. So, yeah, Trey Harris there would be good.
Yeah, they're already penciling a number two, not giving Mike Williams any chance whatsoever, I guess.
I'm hoping with this extra time since the Thursday game, so this coming Sunday, Mike Williams gets involved a little bit more. But we said that with Deontay too. Deontay's played what, a month now with Baltimore and hasn't done a fuck all. So we'll see.
Very, very perplexing by my Ravens doing that, but.
Yeah. And then only two more picks here on the offensive side of the ball for the last two picks here. 31st, they have the Kansas City Chiefs taking Tyler Warren, the tight end from Penn State. I don't think this would happen just because they just drafted why can't I think of his name?
Wiley?
Jared Wiley, who was out for the year, I believe, who they really, really liked. Noah Gray, I believe he's a free agent, but they could easily bring him back. He's killing it.
Yeah.
Kelsey's still going to be there. Like, Kelsey's not going away. He says he wants to play another 2 or 3 years even. So I just don't see this pick happening, but Tyler Warren definitely warrants first-round consideration.
Yeah, I do actually think, despite what Kelsey said, I do think he retires after this year. I think he's taken a step back.
If they win the Super Bowl, I think he does.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the last one is that was an edge player. I'm sorry. So I thought it said his name is LT. I thought it said left tackle.
He plays both positions, edge, left tackle.
There you go. but yeah, that's it for their first round projection there. So talked about some of the guys, some of the fits there. I kind of wanted to go over. So yeah, we'll get more into some draft stuff as we go on throughout the year, but let's tackle your wide receiver stuff. So, let's go through some of the players that you're higher on. So,
okay.
George Pickens, Terry McLaurin, Juwan Jennings, T. Higgins, Cooper Kupp, J-Mo, Khalil Shakir, and Cortland Sutton. So, definitely some of those guys hit pretty big this week. Sutton, Kupp, McLaurin all had really big weeks this week. Some of those guys were on buys. But, yeah, let's talk about some of those guys. Who's, like, your two favorites from that you're really high on?
Well, I mean, my priority targets were George Pickens and Terry McLaurin. But probably two of my favorites, just because of their price, are T. Higgins and Cooper Kupp. I think that if you want to, you know, aim for the biggest outcome, you want to take the biggest swing, and you don't care about age, it's really hard to argue with Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is third in target share. He's only behind Malik Neighbors and Jefferson at 29%. He's third in targets per route run. He's only behind Rashee Rice and Puka, his teammate. And he's second in points per game at 20.1. And the Rams, they're passing the ball to wide receivers more than anyone else. They're first in expected points at 42 points for their wide receivers. So, and he's sixth in production on 11th usage for wide receivers, according to Hayden Winks at Underdog. So I'm pretty high on Cooper Kupp, and I'm trying to get him everywhere on all my my contending teams right now. What are you thinking of Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. He's just a target hog, man. Even like him and Puka, like you just can't go wrong with either of them right now. And kind of looking at Keep Trade Cutting and how far he is down there, he's currently wide receiver 34. So like Keon Coleman, Jameson Williams, Jordan Addison, Tank Dell, DJ Moore, Josh Downs, those guys are all ahead of him on the rankings. So
yeah,
I even think like if you're you know 11th team or 12th team right now, like you're gonna be in the playoffs, like giving up that late first to go get Cooper Kupp, if that's you know, secures your wide receiver room and you have like three studs, four studs you're starting every week, I think I would make that move personally. So I like that call.
And just to back up a little bit, just a little bit more with my process. So I brought up target share and I brought up targets per route run. Last year, if you were top 12 in target share, you had an 83% chance of being in the top 12 of points per game. If you were top 12 in targets per route run, you had a 75% chance of being top 12 producer at the wide receiver position. Those are two of my favorite metrics that I use to measure wide receivers. And Kupp is, he's third on both of those metrics. They have [S2] Wow. [S1] A very high correlation rate for, you know, if he stays on this trajectory, he's going to absolutely be, you know, a number one wide receiver, and he's going to be winning people their leagues. So I don't know. Those are two of my favorite things to look into, but it's important to use other types of data points as well. I use lots of different ones. If you read my articles, and people have different processes, I'm more focused on efficiency and execution and the role of a player and the overall offense and the team in general, and the causes and the whys, not just the production and the points and the touchdowns and stuff like that. So with this, with these types of metrics, these are the types of things that I'm looking for, with especially if a player falls off or their scheme changes and defenses adapt and stuff like that. These are a lot more sticky over the long run. So took me a second just to get through those numbers in my head. I got a lot of things going on up there, but yeah, I'm super high on Cooper Kupp.
I think two of the guys I want to highlight on your list there for guys that it could be had cheaper, maybe for, you know, higher second round picks or 2 second round picks, something like that, would be Khalil Shakir and Courtland Sutton. Both of those guys are having tremendous years. I think Shakir is kind of like the number one wide receiver there for Buffalo. He's just consistently every single week getting the ball. He's getting you at least 10 plus fantasy points a week, it seems like, every time out there. So Shakir would definitely be a guy that I would target. And then Courtland Sutton, man, he has been absolutely on fire like the last three games. Him and Bo Nix together have been tearing it up. The only problem with Sutton is he has a week 14 bye, so that sucks that you would be missing him for a very key game to potentially get you into the playoffs. Now if you're a team who's probably already locked into the playoffs, then okay, I can go, you know, if I lose 1 week because I didn't have Sutton, then that's fine. But having Sutton for your playoff run, I think, could be a really big opportunity for you. So Shakir and Sutton, those are two guys I would probably look to acquire as well.
Yeah, Matt Harmon put Khalil Shakir, you know, on the map for me early on. He deemed him as the ideal type of wide receiver in the modern NFL. He just gets open no matter if it's press coverage, if it's, you know, zone, if it's man. He just serves that key role for Josh Allen on that offense. So him and Sutton are not going to wow you in a lot of these different metrics. They're right outside the top 12 on most of them, so they're kind of a sneaky buy, you know, in that regard. But like you said, they play a key role for both of their offenses, for both of their, you know, quarterbacks and both offenses. Like, I just looked at Josh Allen's the Bills schedule for the rest of the year. They have a cupcake schedule. They play the Detroit Lions, and then that's it. So that's why, like, when you go to Vegas and they ask you who the MVP odds are, it's not Lamar Jackson. It's Josh Allen. They think that he's going to kill it over the next, you know, the remainder of the season. So Khalil Shakir is going to be the main beneficiary of that. And Courtland Sutton, he was a buy for me last year as well. He's just consistently good. half my buys last year got, you know, they went on IR the week after I published. So I hope that, that the same doesn't happen with these guys, though.
Right. Yeah, I know Buffalo plays San Francisco this week, so that'll be a little bit of a tougher game, but you can pass on them. So, yeah, Shakir, Sutton, both of those guys looking really good for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Players you're lower on, and good thing you didn't put this in your article, because two of these guys absolutely smashed this week. I think they were the wide receiver, like, one and two on the week.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Jalen Waddle and Jordan Addison. And you also have Tank Dell, Chris Olave, and Brandon Ayuk on there. So, yeah, let's talk about Waddle and Addison, since those guys just had monster weeks. Why are you a little bit lower on both of those guys?
So, Jalen Waddle, he is now the 47th ranked wide receiver in points per game. Can you take a guess where he was before this blow-up game?
He was definitely down there, probably like 55-ish.
He was 70th.
Okay.
Yeah, at 8.8. Lower. Okay. Yeah. So, and when I dive into a lot of these different metrics, he's pretty poor. So, I talked earlier about the importance of target percentage and targets per route run. He's 47th and 44th in those two categories right there. He is average at air yard share. He's average at ADOT. But he does do well. There's a couple of stats that are pretty good just in his defense. He's 11th in first downs per route run. I think that's a very key metric. It just shows dependability in key situations of the quarterback looking your way. And right. He's 11th in yak. So he still has that burner capability there.
Absolutely. But
in yards per route run, he's 13th as well. But when it comes to contested catches, air yard share, stuff that's just down the field and stuff like that, he's not even in the top 25. So when you take all of those things into account, and if you look at his production, he's the 55th ranked wide receiver, and that's on 66th usage. So that's, when you're ranked that low and you're only, you know, hitting on some of these, I don't know, more ancillary types of metrics and stuff like that, at a wide receiver 25 KTC ranking, I definitely want to sell. And this is the best time to be able to sell both him and Addison, who I'm going to get into later. But the Miami Dolphins, they're targeting their wide receivers. They're 24th when it comes to expected points for their wide receivers at 23.7. So they've become much more of a rushing team, and yeah, they're putting so much more of on Achane. So
yeah,
if you really want to hold on to Waddle and just ignore what he's been since his rookie year, when he did have a really good year, I mean, that's on you, man. But in all these metrics, he's either average to very below average in a lot of the key stuff that I look at.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed by Waddle this year. Like, even last year, like, he still had some pretty good numbers there with Tyreek, and Tyreek was going crazy. But I think a lot of it has to do with Tua missing that amount of time this year. But I think hopefully with this last week, like, maybe they finally start getting it clicking with Tyreek and Waddle both, and get back to how they were throwing the ball last year. Plus with Achane in there too. Tough matchup this week on Thanksgiving night against the Packers, so we'll see how that game turns out. But yeah, going to be interesting to see what Waddle does the rest of the year, for sure.
I'm very glad that you brought up with Tua missing. So with all these wide receivers that I took out the sample where they missed games or where their quarterback was out. This sample I looked at with Waddle was weeks 1 and then 8 through 12. Those are all the games with Tua. He would be far worse if I included the full sample of games in there. So those are with Tua. Gotcha. So I just wanted to make sure that I pointed that out. So, and then you alluded to it earlier, Jordan Addison.
Yep.
He is 34th right now at 12.9 PPR points per game. Before the blow-up game, though, 55th at 10.7 points per game. He's average when it comes to target percentage. He's 38th with 17.8%. 40th at targets per route run, 0.19. So for every 5 passes that go out there, 1 is then going to Jordan Addison. He's averaging contested catches, air yard share, yards per route run. Those are all at 21st or below. First downs, yak. I was pretty surprised by that. However, in his defense, he has the fourth best ADOT. He has 14.8. So it's pretty interesting that he has such a high ADOT, and yet his yards per route run is 2.07. So I guess those are just more schemed looks where they are intentionally looking his way on deeper routes, but he does not typically run deeper routes. Mm-hmm. And he's the, when it comes to production, he's the 44th best wide receiver on the 40th best usage. The Vikings are decently a good passing team. They have the 10th best wide receiver room when it comes to expected points at 29.2. But at a KTC ranking of 32, there are just other players I would rather have ahead of him. And for his sample, I looked at, because he missed weeks 2 and 3, and then they had missed a couple other weeks as well. So it was weeks 1, 4 through 5, and 7 through 12 for his sample that I used there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he just had that monster blow-up game, but Addison just seems like that typical best ball wide receiver for me. Like, to start that guy in a lineup league every single week, I'd be pulling my hair out. So, yeah. Like, best ball, I would love to have an Addison-type receiver, but, man, lineup, he is just way too inconsistent for me right now. Yeah, he's going to have these monster blow-up games, you know, once or twice a year, but figuring out which one those are, who knows? Like, going into the week, you tell me, oh, man, Addison against Chicago, I'll be like, man, Chicago's got a really tough defense. It's a division game. It's outdoors in Chicago. Like, I don't think Addison's going to have a great week. And here he is, like, wide receiver, you know, top three wide receiver on the week. So knowing when Jordan Addison is going to blow up is really hard to figure out. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. Ayuk, he's got the multi-ligament knee injury. So, like, next year coming back, like, it's going to be probably pretty slow progress for him as well. So I agree with you. I'm a little bit lower on Ayuk now than I was. Tank Dell, oh, man. I was kind of hoping Tank Dell would start getting it going with just him and Nico back in there. We haven't seen it yet, but I still think there's still some time there for Tank Dell to really get back on there. But why are you a little bit lower on Dell?
He probably actually performed the worst of all of the guys I'm lowest on, surprisingly. He's 47th in points per game. He's 45th in target percentage, 54th in targets per route run. Mm-hmm. He has 4 contested catches, which is his average. Air yard share is down. He's at 38th. Yards per route run, 57th. It's just like they're not using him at all down the field whatsoever. 53rd in first downs per route run. So, like, he's not being used down the field. He's not being used in critical situations. Yak, what he was so known for last year, he's 48th in the league this year at 3.67 yards. ADOT, they're not using him down the field. He's 39th. But production, like, he's a borderline wide receiver at 36 on 31st usage. And Texas have just taken a huge step back on offense. They're just running the piss out of the ball with Joe Mixon. So
that's true.
I just think that he is, based off these numbers, I just have to chalk it up to that injury that he had with the broken leg. I don't care how many, you know, highlights he had of running full speed, you know, when we were pretty excited to have him back. It's just,
yeah. I think it could possibly be that, but I would think that this late in the season, you know, he should be at least back to full strength by now. So we'll see. They have a week 14 bye as well. Hopefully after the bye, maybe they can get him going again, but I agree with you. Like, the ADOT and taking shots down the field, like, this is what Tank Dell did last year. And they're not, you know, C.J. Stroud isn't launching these bombs to Tank Dell like he was last year. Like, Tank Dell had, like, a month run last year, like, 100 yards every game and a touchdown. Like, the dude was on fire. But I agree with you. They need to get back to chucking some shots down the field to Tank Dell.
The biggest thing I would probably have to chalk this up to, if you cannot block up front, you do not have the time to have these longer, you know, these deeper shots downfield be able to develop. And their offensive line, everyone knows, is taking a huge step back this year. Yeah. So that could be another big component to it as well.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I think Texans would be a team on my list that definitely needs to invest in the offensive line in the draft this year for sure.
But at wide receiver 30, you know, on KTC, I would much rather have JMO, who's right below him. I'd much rather have, you know, Cooper Kupp or some of these other guys that are down below, like Sutton or Shakir Plus, than have Tank Dell.
Okay, that makes sense. Some of your sell highs. So a couple on here. You have Darnell Mooney, who's having a really good season, DK Metcalf, Tyreek Hill, and Mike Evans. So let's start with the big name on there, Tyreek Hill. Do you think it's – is it more of an age thing, and you don't think Tyreek's as good as he used to be, or is it the offense? What's your take there with Tyreek Hill?
So I kind of actually made a mistake with putting Tyreek Hill on this list, because his numbers were not that great when you looked at the whole season. And then I looked at only the splits with Tua in the lineup. He's actually been really, really good, despite what people have feel. In target percentage, he's 16th. In targets per route run, he's 13th. Contested catches, he's 8th. Air yard share, 6th. Yards per route run, 6th. He's 4th in first downs per route run, and he's 7th in yak, 10th in ADOT. So all those, I've actually changed my tune on him since I've put him on this list. I think he's fantastic for anyone who's going for a chip. But considering his age, considering it's going to get colder outside eventually, they play Green Bay this week, and then they play Cleveland at Cleveland in week 17, two in the cold, not a good mix. So I would much rather sell him if I was not competing whatsoever, but sell him high.
I'm praying for a nice balmy 50 degree day on that day when they come up here to Cleveland. But yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill's one of my favorite players to watch in the league. And I think, you know, if somebody were to put him on a sell high list, they would be like, man, he's just not the same. He's not doing this or that. Like, we just haven't seen those big monster plays that Tyreek Hill is just known for every single year. Like, there's been like maybe one this year where he's had that big play touchdown, just not happening this year. That's one of the reasons I had him as my number one overall wide receiver going into the season this year was Tyreek Hill. So, yeah, I would still invest in him and still want him for next year too, because I just don't see him slowing down anytime soon. But that's definitely a guy I would buy personally. I don't think I would sell.
A part of me thinks that, like, he, with him picking up the wrist injury this year, with him getting injured late last year, I mean, just 2 years of injuries, and with him not wanting to play until the wheels fall off, I would not be totally surprised if he retires after this year.
Okay.
That's the only thing.
My thing with that is, I mean, this kid has like another 3 or 4 kids in the off season every year. He's like averages like 3 new kids every off season. So he's going to have to like pay for these kids at some point. So he might have to play until he's like 47.
Oh my God. Unless he's like the Michael Jordan meme where he's like, fuck them kids. I'm not.
He might, and you know, he'd be a terrible father for doing that, but like literally this dude knocks up like 3 chicks in off season, so like he's gonna have to pay for these kids at some point.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Let's go with DK Metcalf here. He just came back from a week off injury, came back this week, had a solid game this week. The Seahawks have been one of the pass happiest teams in the league, so I could see why you'd want to sell high on him. But what's concerning you about DK Metcalf that you'd want to sell high on him?
So originally, I actually had JSN on this list, and then I started comparing JSN to DK Metcalf, and I found it pretty interesting. So this sample looks at weeks 1 through 7 and 11 through 12, so it takes out the time that Metcalf missed. Metcalf, he's the 20th ranked wide receiver at 14 points per game, 22nd in target percentage. JSN's right behind him at just 0.9% lower. targets per route run. Metcalf is the 28th ranked at 0.23. JSN right behind him at 0.22. He is really good still at contested catches. He has 6, and he's 5th in air yard share. So he's getting it done down the field. But what I found most interesting is in critical situations, first downs per route run, DK Metcalf, 43rd in the league. JSN actually ranks higher than him. He's 37th. And then yak per reception, you would think, oh, he's getting these catches down the field. He's explosive. You know, DK Metcalf, just, you know, tracking people down the field. He's actually 21st in the NFL. JSN is 14th. Which I found probably the most surprising is that JSN has been more explosive with the ball in his hands after the catch.
I mean, you know, like DK's, like, you know, from his combine, like his lateral stuff wasn't very good. So I don't think it's like that surprising to me that JSN's a little better as a yak guy, like catching like a quick short pass and then being able to run and explode and get more yards after the catch than DK. I don't think that surprises me as much. But, yeah, I mean, JSN's having a great year, too. I think he's finally coming into his own. So it does take away from DK Metcalf a little bit. And looking at DK on Keep Trade Cut, he is wide receiver 18. So he's still valued really high.
Yeah.
So if you could tear down from DK and pick up, you know, some guys below him are Jalen Waddle, Chris Olave, Terry McLaurin's down here, Addison, J-Mo, like any of those guys, if you can tear down plus get something on top of it for DK, I don't think I mind that.
Yeah, I like Terry McLaurin from the guys that you mentioned there. But, yeah, this is more just like JSN. I think he's going to start to maybe take over the offense. I think DK Metcalf is maybe going to be more of a downfield, you know, type of role. He's still has the 4th highest ADOT in the NFL at 14.5 yards. But the Seahawks, they're looking to, I think, pass a lot more. Their wide receivers are 19th in the league with 25.3 expected points. So I'm just going to look more for JSN and his role in him surpassing DK Metcalf by the end of the season when it comes to production. So
okay. Yeah, I mean, JSN's wide receiver 13, so he's even higher than a couple of these guys. So that speaks to what you're talking about.
Which is, I think, a little bit overinflated. That's the reason why I originally had him on this list. But then when I started looking into the numbers, it's like, you know, JSN is starting to overtake him in some of these other ones. But target percentage, targets per route run, DK Metcalf still has it over at JSN. So they're even at best, I would say.
Let's talk about Mooney and Evans, too. So we'll bring up the last two on your sell high list here. Start with Evans. I can definitely see why you would want to sell Evans, especially if like you're a middle-of-the-road team or you're out of the playoffs. His age, obviously, I think he can still play for another 2 to 3 years. Doesn't look like the dude's slowing down anytime soon. The dude just gets open, makes big plays. So haven't seen any of that you know, decline in production from Evans, but I could definitely see selling high on him to somebody that's on a playoff run. So I get that one. Anything else on Evans?
Yeah, he's doing very well in critical situations. He's 6th in first downs per route run. And before he got hurt, so at week 7, he was the 10th most productive wide receiver on the 5th highest usage. So I definitely think that Baker Mayfield is going to stop throwing as many balls to K-Dot and go a lot more towards Mike Evans. So Mike Evans, I think, you know, can get some solid production. But when it comes to a lot of his other stats, like target percentage, targets per route run, he was so far behind Chris Godwin, and which I found just very, very surprising. I mean, I know Chris Godwin was put in an amazing position to succeed, but just to see how far behind he was in him, I thought was pretty crazy. The Buccaneers also too, they're now 26th when it comes to how they deploy the wide receivers, 22.2 expected points. They've become a very much reliant on Bucky Irving and Rashad White and their running back duo that they have there. So at wide receiver 37 on KTC, I would rather just move off for a second or a down tier if I was not competing.
Okay. And then Darnell Mooney, why are you selling high on Mr. Mooney?
Well, at one point, I'm pretty sure that I saw him at like wide receiver, like 7 or 8 when it came to points per game. He was absolutely killing it this year. He's currently right now regressed. He's now at 25th at 13.6. And every metric that I looked at, his best one that he had was contested catches. He's 15th in the NFL at 6. Everything else that he has is 25 or worse in okay. all these metrics. So he is fine. He's average. So if that's all you're looking for, then as a wide receiver 3 or a flex play, yeah, you should keep him. But the way a lot of people, I think, are valuing him, and then when they look at just the points per game and stuff like that, I think it's kind of a fugazi. So I see him continuing to negatively regress, Drake London continuing to positively regress, and he's the 10th most productive player and the 15th best usage. So, and they are pretty balanced when it comes to running and passing the ball. They're really trying to, you know, run the ball more, but I think that people are just going to figure out the Atlanta Falcons. I think they were on a hot streak the first half of the year, and I don't see them passing at that clip for the rest of the season. Darnell Mooney wasn't really worth anything coming into this year. He was a throw-in. So with those types of players, the best thing to do and the most you have to be disciplined and sell players, you know, when they're at their peak, especially they haven't done anything for the last couple of years. So that's Mooney is a sell for me.
Okay. Yeah, that makes 100% sense to me, you know, selling him at his highest point. Man, I always have such a hard time doing it because it's like, oh man, I want that production on my team, not somebody else's team. But I get it. Like, this is probably the highest Darnell Mooney is probably going to be the rest of his career. I just don't see him going up any more than this. So I totally get it from that standpoint for sure. But I just think he's in a really good offense there, you know, kind of the Rams offense, what the Falcons are building there. And Mooney has fit in quite nicely there. And I think either with Cousins or Penix in there, Mooney should thrive. So I could definitely see selling him for if you can get a really good price on him. But, you know, if you have to hold him, I'm totally fine with that too.
Yeah, wide receiver 43 on KTC, despite being a top 12 wide receiver as far as just how he's been playing this year. Right. No one cares. That's the other thing, too, that's kind of, like, alarming. So
right. Okay. And then the last category you had here was playing above their circumstances. So you have Calvin Ridley, Josh Downs, Jakobi Meyers, and Davante Adams on there. So which one out of that list did you want to highlight?
Calvin Ridley is probably the one that deserves the most praise. I mean, he has to play, you know, with that quarterback. I mean, they had a really great win. What's his face? Probably had the best game of his career.
Levis.
Levis. But, yeah, he's 38th in points per game at 11.8, but target percentage 16th in the NFL at 23%. He's got 5 contested catches, so he's been a downfield threat. Air yard share, he's 3rd in the NFL at 48.3%. He's 4th in the NFL with an ADOT of 16 yards. And he's producing at the 11th best rate on the 10th best usage. And the Titans, they're passing the ball. They're giving their wide receivers the 11th best expected points with 28.8. So, yeah, a lot of these guys like Ridley and Adams, they're on the older side. But you can get a steal, you know, with them despite their quarterback situation and despite their team situation. But it is risky in that regard. That's why I didn't make them buys. But they're producing at a very high rate despite their circumstances, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if you did a breakdown of Ridley just since the Hopkins trade and see where Ridley ranks and all that stuff, because I think since that Hopkins trade, that's kind of when Ridley's taken off.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I did not think of doing that.
Yeah. Definitely something to maybe do in one of the future articles for sure, I think.
Yeah.
I like Jacoby on this list, man. He's been playing really well since Davante Adams was traded. You know, we'll see with Aiden O'Connell getting back in there. Now, I think you should still do fine with Aiden O'Connell in there, or I guess Desmond Ridder. I think Desmond Ridder sucks, but that's another podcast.
That would be tough.
Yeah, I think Jacoby's still a really, really good player there. Like, I don't see him as a number one receiver, but I think that guy is a really, really good number two in the league for somebody. So if he's asked to carry the load for this long, I don't know how long he's going to be able to do it, but right now he's getting the usage. He's got the number one wide receiver spot there for the Raiders. Jacoby should be pretty good for the rest of the season, so I like that guy as well.
Yeah.
Downs just got hurt. He's probably missing this week, and they're on a bye week 14, so you won't see him till week 15. Yeah. And then Adams, man, that's the Jets, the whole New York Giants, Jets, fucking dumpster fire right now.
Yeah, it's been pretty tough for yeah. them.
Hopefully they get a little bit better there with the Jets and Giants. It might not happen until next year, but kind of sucks for me being an Aaron Rodgers fan, kind of seeing like he's dealing with some injuries, it sounds like, and sounds like he's going to end up moving on here to go basically be a hired gun next year. So, you know, I'm kind of like we talked about earlier with some of these teams that are quarterback needy. Maybe they end up like the Raiders did last year and miss out on the top three quarterbacks or whatever. Like Rodgers might be that guy who gets signed next year to be a hired gun on a team. I don't try to think of a team off the top of my head where he could go in and play immediately and really fit in. Like if Darnold walks and J.J. McCarthy is slow to return from his, I guess he had a second surgery as well. If they don't bring back Darnold, like Rodgers to the Vikings would be interesting for me.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. I don't know if he fits that type of culture. I feel like yeah. Their coach, both their coaches with Flores and
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think they got a pretty good thing going there. They don't want the circus with Aaron Rodgers. I do love Aaron Rodgers, but man, he could be a little bit too much sometimes, especially when he's not getting yeah. his shit done on the field and he's just doing way too much talking. So that's the right thing.
Like it's kind of crazy to think Stafford would retire, but if he retired, like here's an older guy and Rodgers, I could come in and fit in there for a year.
Oh, man. That would be pretty wild with them and McVay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of where the biggest shit shows. You know, that's where he belongs. Who has the craziest?
Cleveland. The fucking Giants. Yeah. I mean, Giants, Cleveland, those are the biggest shit shows. I mean, I don't see him going to Carolina unless they, like, traded Bryce Young and just brought in Aaron Rodgers to, you know, try and win. But that would be the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, I think their coach and Canales and their GM, they have their heads on straight, even though Tepper is a head case.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's where he's going to end up going. It's just whoever's got the craziest owner. Probably, I don't know, maybe Dallas Cowboys. If Dak Prescott doesn't.
Yeah, they just paid Dak way too much money to do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, it could be the Giants, to be honest with you. It wouldn't be shocking at that.
God, yeah, that would be pretty crazy.
Yeah. All right, so that is a look at some of your stuff on your article that we talked about. It was good to kind of break some of that down. I think you had some really good information there to share with the audience here. So those are definitely some guys you can think about trading or maybe going to acquire here for your playoff run. That's only a couple weeks away, man. Can't believe fantasy playoffs are right around the corner here.
Yeah, this is the best time of the year for me. I don't really like the first month of the season. There's not a lot of data to go off of, and there's not a lot of trades. But now with, you know, 12 weeks in the books, I have all this data to be able to go off of, and this is the prime trading time of the year to make those pushes for next year or for winning championships. So I'm excited.
For sure. Yeah, crunch time for sure, man. All right, we ready to do America's favorite game?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. I think I got one for you. So what is, like, your favorite movie series? So, you know, Fast and Furious, James Bond, Rocky movies, Star Wars, anything that has, like, three or four movies or more in it. What's your favorite movie series?
Well, if it has only three, it has to be Lord of the Rings for me. I've never seen
a Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I was listening to the freaking Lord of the Rings soundtrack while I was taking my little walk outside. So, no, there's nothing that gets me more in the zone, more hyped up than Lord of the Rings. I have.
Do you watch the Amazon show?
I watched the first season, like, a year after it came out, after all the hate that happened on it. And I really liked it. I think the second
season already wrapped up, I think.
Yeah, I have not. I'm waiting for the hate for that season to die down as well, so I can just enjoy it and not have to worry about, you know, all the people bitching about the show. But that whole world, you know, just being able to be immersed, you know, into that world and that Tolkien built, I think is just absolutely amazing. So that movie's had a huge impact on just me, you know, throughout my life. So okay. I absolutely love Tolkien. I have so many different books by him as well. So that's probably, that would be my number 101 pick if we were doing a draft.
Okay. That's good. I like that. I haven't seen him, so I can't really comment too much on those, to be honest with you. Man, some of my favorites, I would say my absolute favorite is definitely James Bond. I'm definitely a big James Bond fan. All the films, all the actors and all that have played Bond, big fan of the James Bond series. So that would probably be my number one pick there.
What's your favorite? Is it Casino Royale or GoldenEye or?
Casino Royale is my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie was fucking just so good.
Dude, Daniel Craig. Even in the last one, too, that they did. I mean, there was a couple in between that weren't my favorites, but their first and last one with Daniel Craig, I thought were two of my favorites. Yeah.
Any of the Daniel Craig films, I don't, like, dislike. I like all of them. They're all really, really good. Even Quantum of Solace, which a lot of people, you know, think is the worst one. I think it's really good. I'll throw it on today and watch it, you know, and be happy to watch it. Like, I like that one a lot, so... yeah, that's definitely going to be mine. And there's just so many, like I named a few of them, like the Mighty Ducks movies, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm
Star Wars would be my number two pick. It's right there with Lord of the Rings for me.
Yeah. I'm a big Star Wars fan too, but like the originals are probably the top three.
Dude, I
literally debate the first sequels, the, you know, the prequels and these three new ones that came out, like the three new ones that came out, better graphics and video and technology and shit. So I'll give them that. But like story, I don't know. It's up in the air. Like, yeah. I haven't even gone back to watch the last three with like Rey and all that. Like I've seen bits and pieces. Yeah, but like. That last movie, I haven't rewatched it since I went to the theater. Like, I just haven't had any interest.
Dude, that scene at the end with the Emperor, when he just shoots that lightning up and just takes down all those ships, and they have like 1,000 destroyers up in the air, it makes no sense that they lost. I mean, they had space horses galloping on top of the freaking spaceships. I'm like, what the hell are we freaking doing? So, yeah, I did not count the prequels whatsoever. But Rogue One, one of my favorite Star Wars movies of all time. And the prequels, good. The prequels still freaking hit. There was no other better movie to see in theaters when it came out than Phantom Menace. When they had the pod racing scene and the Duel of the Fates scene with Darth Maul at the very end.
That's the one everybody hates because of Jar Jar.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, that's pretty tough. But
I love the third one, like where you really get to see how you know, the fall of Anakin, basically. Like, I love the third movie. That third movie is phenomenal.
Yeah, Palpatine, and you know, is one of the best villains of all time. Just everything that he orchestrated from episode one to episode three, it makes him one of the best villains of all time. And he never gets talked about in that regard. But yeah, so highly quotable as well.
And then we talked about this last time you were on Batman. I love the Batman movies too. So got to throw that on there.
I watched Dark Knight last night for the first time in years. And I watched the whole thing, not just the scenes with the Joker. And man, that movie is so freaking good. Yes. Maggie Gyllenhaal is still tough for me. I still can't see it with her. I'm very sad that, what was it, Katie Holmes that was in the first one?
Yeah,
but besides her, I mean, she did get blown up, so that was pretty cool. But outside of that.
Yeah, I never seen Katie Holmes, like, after that. Like, didn't she get married to Tom Cruise, and then, like, I've never heard of her ever since then.
Yeah, that was pretty tough. We're all thankful that she's out of that relationship now.
Right. Fast and Furious. I definitely love those two. So
I've only seen the first one in Tokyo Drift. Those are the only two that I've seen. I've not watched any of them since then. I did see, what's it? Not Calvin and Hobbes. Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw, yeah. That one's decent.
That one's pretty decent, yeah. But my father-in-law, he's obsessed with all the Fast and Furious movies, surprisingly. Okay. So
nice.
But yeah, those are some good ones, man.
Definitely. All right. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for this Thanksgiving episode of America's Game. T-Rock, appreciate having you on, buddy. Thankful to be co-hosting with you on the Sunday Start Sit Show and having you on here, man. It's always been fun to have you on, so appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm super thankful for you as well, man. It's been really, really great just being able to do that with you, to be able to try to, you know, help out the people for their start shit shows. And being able to come on this for a second time has been great. And I want to just also thank, this is the season of being thankful, and we're going to be with our families here soon. So I just want to, you know, give a shout out to my wife, who, you know, puts up with a lot with me. I'm surprised that she is married to me. I'm more of a goblin, you know, than she is, despite giving that goblin voice that I do all the time of her. But she puts up with all my shit. And I want to thank my family who's going to be coming into town as well. We're not going to be doing Chick-fil-A tomorrow. I have a turkey that's been brining the last 2 days now. I'm pretty excited for, just excited for friends and family and everyone at South Harmon as well. We've been absolutely killing it. So just to be able to write articles that people read and just to be able to work alongside you guys mean a lot to me. So, and this community absolutely as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate everybody that listens in and joins us on our videos and listens in on the podcast every single week. Appreciate all of you guys. So hopefully you guys have a great day with your families. Enjoy some Thursday football. Enjoy the Friday football as well. Should be a good week, and hopefully we get ready here for the playoffs, and hopefully all of us make it into the playoffs in our leagues. And I'm excited for what's to come here.
Yeah, same as well.
Appreciate it. So, we'll see you guys for next week for episode number 71. We'll see you later.